Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, Lord, for life and health and strength. And I pray that you would bless us. Just watch over us, Father, I pray, and lead us and guide us this morning as we spend this time in your word, lifting up your praises, and Lord, just the time together. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your Son, Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the conviction of the Holy Spirit and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And I pray, Lord, not just for ourselves, but for our sister churches around the world. Pray especially for Stan at this time, that you would help him with whatever it is that's ailing him at the moment. And Lord, for the rest of our sister churches, I pray that you would inspire and help to grow, Lord. Thank you for loving us, for all that you've done for us, Lord, for your many prophecies and promises delivered and kept. And Lord, we ask this, and of course, the private prayer request, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I have a couple of requests, so we're going to go to the Black Books, first of all. And hymn number 3 in the Black Books. So if you'd like to take a turn there, we'll just remain seated as we sing All People That on Earth Do Dwell.
Psalm number 22 and 23. My God, who hast thou forsaken me? Why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, in the night season, and I am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our father trusted in thee, and they trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee, and were not confounded. For I am a worm. No man, or reproach of men, despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lips. They shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord, that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighteth in him. Thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee in the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me around. They gave upon me with their mouths as a ramming and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hand with my feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. For be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength, haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. I will carry thy name unto my brother, in the midst of the congregation will I pray to. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye, the seed of Jacob, glorify him and fear him. All ye, the seed of Israel, for he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord. All the kindreds of the nation shall worship before thee. For the kingdom of the Lord, and he is the common among the nations. And they that be fat upon earth shall eat and worship. All that go down to dust shall bow before him, and none can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him, it shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, he leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul and leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I wish I had a penny for every time I've said that.
Verses well worth remembering, full of promises, if you care to take the Lord at his word. Just want to remind you all about the wee orange one. I think it will be replaced this coming weekend. Is that right? Yeah, this come next weekend there'll be a new one, but please make sure that you take one of those. If you do pray, you should take one of those, and at least once a week you should pray over all the names and all the events that are in there. I have everybody down for private prayer requests. Pat and Steve send their regards. Please do continue to pray for Steve. His health is not good. His legs are still very bad with very red, and he has some weeping sores on them. So please do pray for him. It's not a good time for Steve right now, so please do pray for him. Pray if you would also remember Owen and Louise Dougherty. Last week, whenever we were up at the Crescent Link, gentleman was driving past, and he saw me out with a megaphone, and he turned the car around, and he came in, and he asked for prayer for his wife. She has cancer in the throat. She received a poor report, wasn't good. Would appreciate your prayers for the Dougherty family at this time. So, I think that's about that. Is there anything else we need to add to that? Yes?
Pray for my attorney who flies out to Spain to see him, and hope that he gets all the answers that he needs to get.
I put Spanish lawyer down, is that ever Spanish solicitor?
In custom, yeah.
Okay, please do pray for that. Norman has had an ongoing court case for coming up on 3 years, so please do pray that he gets this sorted out sooner rather than later. Amen. Okay, I think that's it. We'll have a quick word of prayer, and then we'll sing another song or two, so let's close our eyes and bow our heads. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, first of all, for your promise that we can come boldly before you into the holiest of holies, and we can bear our hearts and minds and souls to you. I thank you for that, Lord, and I thank you for loving us that much and for giving us your Son. But Lord, and Lord, you know I hate shopping this prayer, but we've got a few things on our mind. Colin and Charlotte will be traveling as the week goes, so I pray, Lord, for your safety for them. Pray for that you would look after Frank, that you would put your hand upon Will, that you would help Pat and Steve with their strength and the healing that he needs on his legs, Lord. We pray as well for Norman and for the legal case, the Spanish bit of it this time around. Please, Lord, we pray that this would be resolved. And Lord, I pray for Monica too. It's not very often that that seat at the front is empty, but it's empty today. And I pray that you would just help lift Monica up and help her to recover from whatever it is that she's got. Pray for myself for a visit to my dad as the week goes on. And Lord, you know everything that's going on. I pray for our leaders. I pray especially that you would convict them greatly and constrain them when so many of them are set on wickedness and evil, Lord. I pray that you would stop them in their tracks. And I know evil doesn't have full reign in this world yet until the Holy Spirit's lifted off of it. So, Lord, I pray you still for victories for us. Pray you too for Monica's mom, for her heart, and thank you, Lord, that you're keeping it going. I thank you too, Lord, for maybe slightly more inconsequential for the 4 tubes of silicone I was able to find at the back of that shelf in the shop yesterday. Just thank you for that, Lord. I thank you, Lord, too, for the stuff that's shipped on eBay. And Lord, said no matter what we have, great or small, we can leave it before you. And you know the thoughts of our hearts, Lord. You know our private prayer requests. You know family, friends. Lord, you know it all. Father, I pray that you would save souls. Broaden the borders of Bethel, Lord, I pray. And Father, we just thank you for the life, the strength, and the wherewithal to bring us to where we are now. Bless us, I pray, as we spend this time around your word and lifting up your praises. And Lord, we just leave it all at your feet. Pray that you will grant it according to your will. Amen. All right. Let's lift these hymn books again and let's sing another song. The wee ones again this time. We're on hymn number 11. Hymn number 11 is "A Mortal Invisible God Only Wise." Just, you guys can remain seated as we sing.
Invisible God, only wise.
Old favourite in big books. 107, Safe in the Arms of Jesus. And again, we'll stand for this one. It's a proven fact, and I know you're all enthusiastic about singing this morning. It's a proven fact that you can sing better when you stand up. That's why I can sing so well from the front. Anyway, Hebrews chapter 11 this morning, if you'd like to take and turn there. Hebrews chapter 11. If you don't know, this is called the faith chapter of the Bible. Now, it might be a little bit confusing because I was reading through Deuteronomy 1 and there was an excellent little verse which, or a handful of verses which just showed exactly where the faith of the children of Israel was, and I thought, well, I can read one of those verses in Deuteronomy chapter 1 as my text this morning, and then refer to all the examples in Hebrews chapter 11, or I can just read Hebrews chapter 11. So, we're reading Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse number 1. Let's read. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had offered up the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, counting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians assaying to do were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to speak of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned the flight of the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains, and in dens and caves of the earth, And these all, having obtained a good report, through faith received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Amen. Let's have a quick word of prayer, and then we'll get cracking. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Pray for inspiration and words, Lord, as we spend this time considering what it is to have faith, or to be in faith. Bless us now, Lord. And wherever your word's opened and the full counsel of it is preached, I pray you, Lord, that you bless the preachers and hearers of it. We love you and thank you, Father. Amen. 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 Before we get going, we have the nominal joke that many ministers tell at the start of the sermon. Can anyone tell me from this portion of God's word the biggest picnic that there ever was? It's in verse number 12, and it says that they had sandwiches by the seashore innumerable. Read it there at the end of verse number 12. Sandwiches by the seashore innumerable. Don't tell me you closed your Bibles. Have you got it? Do you see the biggest picnic in the world? Sandwiches by the seashore innumerable. The children of Israel would be as sand which is by the seashore. Well, if I have to tell it 5 times, it's not funny. That's either a reflection on my humour or on your ability at 20 to 12 on a Sunday morning to discern how wonderful my humour is. Amen. That was me. Anyway. We have a big problem with faith in these days, because sadly lots of people don't like to trust in God. Our text for the moment for the service, even though that's full of examples, is verse number 1. And this is a definition of faith. And it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Better jokes, perhaps, the next service. The evidence of things not seen. That's what faith is. Faith, our faith in God, is us believing what God says will be ours behaving like it is ours already, and we believe it, the evidence of things not seen, we believe God because of all the things that are happening in the world and all the things that have happened in our lives, like God said they would. So we believe God. And that's what faith is. If God has been good to you and made good in his promises that he's made to you, well then why would you not believe him for all of the things that he says in the Bible or all of the things that he sends your way? These are a bunch of the things that they gave a very Paul in his letter to the Hebrews, just in the last 15 or so verses of that, he used a very broad paintbrush and he spoke about many souls that were helped by God whenever people believed him. There's one that isn't mentioned there, and I had to think long and hard about it. That was Peter walking on the water. Peter didn't walk on the water because he had power. Peter walked on the water because he trusted in the God that does have the power to tell the water to behave like a rock. The things with men are impossible, but things with God are eminently possible. It talks about the dead being raised to life. It talks about women receiving their dead raised to life. But bear in mind also the centurion that called for Jesus to come and heal his servant. And before he even landed at the centurion's house, he said to the Lord, "You don't have to come to my house. I know that if you just say the words, my servant will be made well." And a similar thing happened to a man that came to the Lord in John chapter 4 and begged for him to heal his son. And Jesus said, "Yep, just go, off you go, your son's healed." And he went home, and the next day, whenever he got there, he found that his son was well again. And he checked, what time did he get well? And he think it was the sixth hour or something like that. And that was the very time that Jesus had said, "Off you go, your son is made well." And those were just people taking God at his word. In these last couple of examples, Jesus at his word, whenever he said your son will be healed, your daughter will be raised to life, whatever, they just believed him. In fact, probably the one that is, they're all marvelous. The one that was probably the most, and they're all public, the one that always sticks in my mind is when Peter says, "Lord, call me to you on the water and I'll come to you if it's your will." And he said, "Come on ahead. It is my will that you should walk to me in the water." What is faith? Faith is them hopping over the side of the boat and walking to Jesus. What is unbelief? Unbelief is staying in the boat, not believing that Jesus is as good as his word. We're going to go over that description again, because we say we have faith, but a lot of times we never put it into practice, and our faith becomes weak and it then becomes non-existent. Even now, as I stand here, I have it in my mind that some of these thoughts will be preached up at the Crescent Link, and the devil is doing a job trying to make me just go straight home after the service and not go up to the Crescent Link. But I am going, because last week I felt exactly the same way, and I didn't want to go up. There was a part of me didn't want to go up, but I knew I should in obedience. In faith I went, and God gave me the words, and God sent that wee man round to me for a wee bit of prayer. And if I hadn't been there, I wouldn't have been able to take part in those things. If Peter hadn't believed Jesus whenever he called him to him, he would never have been. I walked on the water like God. I did amazing things. It's the substance of things hoped for. In other words, we behave like we have God's promises. People say, "Yeah, that's great." But half the time we don't even know what God's promises are. I was saved for about 10 years before I came to Bethel. All I knew was that I had been saved. I had stumbled blindly through the Bible for many years. The Lord was really working hard upon me. I was dating a girl at the time who would have been out with her friends on a Thursday and a Saturday, and that was coming to a close. And I just didn't know what I was doing, where I was going to get pointed in the right direction. And I remember praying to God, God, I really need a church. And that was one morning as I was getting up to go to work. That would be like a family waiting for another family member. It's just the church I need, Lord. And I opened the curtain in the hall, and there were a couple of wee leaflets sat in the hall floor. Someone had put them in the night before. Before I had even prayed and asked God for help, someone had been round and thrown out a lifeline for me. And I rang up later on that day, and I made my way to that church. I think it was that Sunday evening. And for many a Sunday evening, I came to the church, and I used to pump iron in the morning. You wouldn't think it now, but I used to pump iron in the morning, or plastic, vinyl, I think it is. So I couldn't make it to church. There was myself and a couple of friends. And Wednesday, nobody goes to church on a Wednesday night, because that's only for crazies, people that are like dedicated to God. They don't go to church on a Wednesday. But as the time went on, and God delivered on his promises of comfort, and the sermons were useful, I received one of God's promises. That whenever you're saved, you can't be unsaved. No matter what you do, or no matter what is done to you, you can't be unsaved. If you're really saved, you can't be. Because Jesus keeps you. It's not up to you, it's up to Jesus. And he says, I'll keep you in the palm of my hand, and no man can pluck you out. And do you see that promise? I understood, hold on a second. I'm saved forever. I don't have to be good in order to get to heaven. I don't have to work in order to get to heaven. I don't have to attend church to get to heaven. I'm going to heaven. And just knowing that made it easier to come to church. Just knowing that made it easier to put money in the plate. It made it easier to do things for people and not keep a score. Because I was going to heaven. It made life easier. It also made it more interesting and more exciting, because when I started to lean more on God, God started to ask me to do more, like knock on doors and talk to people about their faith. And I thought, you know, that's a bit weird. But I'm going to go out anyway, even though I'm terrified of doing this in front of people. Who knows what reception I'll get? I went out. And it was terrifying. And it was exciting. It's a bit like going to the dentist. You know you're going to feel that thing buzzing around in your mouth at 3,000 RPM, diamond tip drill. If your dentist's a serial killer, you haven't a chance, bear that in mind. I was terrified. But do you see, once it was done, I was so excited and so encouraged. Here, I got past that my fear, I got past my ignorance, I got past relying on my own strength to trust in God, to put faith in his promises. In other words, I'm going to heaven, I'm a child of the King. What are the promises that apply to a child of the King? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, things that God has said, I'll deliver to you, and you behave on like they have been delivered to you, because I am telling you here and now, they have been delivered to you. The ability to recall scripture verses, the ability to recall bits and pieces of sermons, is not your ability. It is the ability of the Holy Spirit that dwells within you. All that you are required to do is listen. Did Jesus not say, hey, whenever I go, I'll give you another comforter? That comforter is the Holy Spirit, and he will bring unto your remembrance all the things that I have told you. He said, whenever you're delivered up, take no thought how or what ye shall say, for in that same moment it will be given you what ye shall say. And it will not be you that speaks, it will be the Holy Spirit that speaks in you. And I want to tell you here and now, the Holy Spirit never forgets a verse of Scripture. It's us that does that. Whenever you find yourself on the spot having to speak for God, you will find the words brought to your remembrance anyway. It's the substance of things hoped for. the evidence of things not seen. There should be a change in people when people get saved, shouldn't there? Instead of being a hell-bound sinner, you become a heaven-bound sinner. You should know the difference between someone going to Tesco's and someone going to wherever the local nightclub is, shouldn't you? Wouldn't you be able to tell the difference? Someone going to Tesco's might be turning out and maybe beating up jeans and who knows what shopping clothes these days. They'll have their purse, they might have a bag full of carrier bags, they'll have a list on them of all the things that they need, and they go to Tesco's. And when they go into Tesco's, they come out with bags of shopping. And then they take the shopping home and they put the food in the cupboards and in the fridge and in the freezer. Someone, however, that's going to a nightclub is more likely to be all dolled up with makeup and an expensive non-functional clothes, and if it's a lady, high heels, possibly, depending if they're going to be dancing and prancing and this, that and the other. The men will be going in clothes that accentuate their figures and their big muscles and doing the best that they can to attract members of the opposite sex. And they go to the club and it's late at night and they come out maybe stinking of cigarette smoke and spilled beer and who knows what else. And they'll know they've been to the club. Well, other people will know, they might not actually remember that they've been to the club. But they go to different places and they have different end results, just like a person going out in their car to Tesco's and someone going out in their car to a nightclub is the same as someone going to heaven and someone going to hell. Different destinations, different actions, different results. God doesn't ask us to be something we are not. But if you are saved, you are a child of the King. He doesn't ask us to believe blindly. This is the evidence of things not seen. He asks us to lean on the proof that is in the Bible. The personal evidence. If you're genuinely saved, there will be a difference. You will know a difference in your life if you're genuinely saved. You will have a salvation experience. You will remember the day, in the words of the song, that your burdens rolled away. There should be a difference. There'll be a new life stretching out in front of you. New loves, new hates. As a fellow once said, you'll hate the things you used to love and love the things you used to hate. There'll be a new family, a Christian family with like values that you have. You'll have a new purpose if you choose to investigate it. New strengths, new food, the scriptures, maybe chucking the old alcohol and stuff away. In fact, the Bible says old things are passed away and all things are become new. And you'll see this evidence in other people too. But there's more than just that. There's things going on in the world that were written in the Bible. There's things going on today that have been going on for decades that were written in the Bible. And we should be able to look at these and say, well, do you know what, God, that happened on TV yesterday. Or maybe we'll be reading something in the Bible and something will pop up on the news or the internet and the TV and say, well, I was reading that 2 days ago and it's happening again right in front of me. Keep mentioning Israel. But God said, Israel will become a nation. And for nearly 2,000 years, Israel was scattered to the four corners of the earth. Their country was called Palestine, and yes, I'm sure there were bunches of Jews living there. But it was mostly not Jews living there. It was called Palestine, and I don't recall who it was owned by or run by. It was called Palestine. It was an insult to the Jewish people. The old Palestinian Brigade in the army before, during World War II and before, was a Jewish brigade. Palestinian Orchestra was a Jewish orchestra. whenever God called the old, the maimed, the lame, and the blind, the young and the old, from the four corners of the earth back to Israel again, they all landed back, and they all took their country back 75 years ago, and Israel pulled down the Palestinian flag and threw up the Israeli flag. Even though Britain didn't want it to happen, and America didn't want it to happen, and pretty much all the countries of the world did their best to throw a stick in their spokes, it happened like God said it would happen, in troubled times, just like the scriptures say. Zechariah chapter 12 and Jeremiah chapter 30, I think it is, or 31. You can't deny that. No other country in the whole existence of mankind has ever done that. Babylon is gone. We were studying about Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar and Daniel in the book of Daniel. Babylon is a real gone country. The Medo-Persian Empire is gone. The Greek Empire is now just a tiny little Greek country. We're in the revived Roman Empire. No other country in the world has ever done that, has ever been completely dissolved and then completely reconstituted, especially the way the Bible said it would. God did that 75 years ago. That is within our racial memory, if you want. My dad remembers it happening. He was 14 or 15. He remembers Israel becoming a nation. I would love to have been the preacher standing at the front of the church saying, and someday God will make Israel a nation. And then the broadcast came on that says, Israel has just announced itself to be a nation. Do you think church attendance would go up that day? Do you want me to make some wild prophecy that the Bible says is going to happen and it happened, and then you'd reckon attendance would pick up? Do you reckon we'd all behave ourselves better? Maybe that's a bit far. 75 years is a bit of a long time for some folks, especially the young folks. It doesn't seem like that long for me, but that's only 18 years long when I've been alive. It's not that far. But God's good. And I have loved computers and gadgets for as long as I can remember. My dad wonders where it came from. That and Star Wars, Star Trek, Doctor Who, Battlestar Galactica and Buck Rogers, anything that had a spaceship or robot or a laser beam in it, I used to love that. My dad said, I don't know where you got that from. But anyway, God told us all about technology. He told us about the ability for knowledge to be greatly increased in the days of Daniel. He told us about the way mankind would travel to and fro across the earth in Daniel. He told us about the global communications network that would be available to enable every eye to see the return of Jesus Christ. The Bible says every eye will see. And the nations of the earth will mourn. Do you think all those people that hate the Jews, that hate the Christians, that lined up in the Valley of Armageddon to try and wipe out the Jewish people for once and for all under the leadership of the Antichrist are going to be happy and dancing a jig when Jesus comes back and just tells them all to die? And they do? Do you think they're going to be happy about that? Of course they're not. The Bible said he is coming back. He also said, look out for a few of these things. Look out for explosion of information and travel. Look out for images being given life, which people look at on their phones every day and never consider that just even 15 or 20 years ago that wasn't available to carry about in their pocket. Look out for weaponry. Look out for guns and MBC plagues and bottles of poison that could literally wipe out every single thing on the face of the earth. That was mentioned in the Bible. Jesus said if he didn't come back, some fool would press the button. He said, look out for society. Now, whenever I was growing up, I think there was one troubled family in my class. One family that was rough around the edges. And the folks were pitied. The wee fellow was a bit of a hard nut, but the folks were pitied and pretty much stayed away from him. But now the Bible says, in the last days, the world is going to be full of people that are proud and covetous and boasters. And it is. What do you call these social media influencers that say how wonderful they are and how excellent they are? And you should give me this, that, and the other so that I can tell the rest of the world how wonderful it is because I'm wonderful. This is the way we are. It's all about me, me, me. Even way back in the book of Isaiah, 500, 600 years before Jesus even walked on the earth, Isaiah said, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that give sweet for bitter and bitter for sweet." And here we are. If people knew the things that were said in here just out of the scriptures, and how we call people to old-fashioned values, they would be freaking out and calling us bigoted and narrow-minded. But yet, no, those are the things that improved human society and kept people together. But now it's evil. Excuse me, world, but homosexuality is a sin. Lesbianism is a sin. Transgenderism is a sin. And there's probably a bit of mental illness in there too. Bisexualism is a sin. Queerism is a sin. LGBTQ. I, for intersex, is a biological condition, so that's not a sin. Pedophilia is a sin. And yet all of these things are being normalized even as we speak. They're now giving it a nice new name called MAP, a minor attracted person. And if you say anything naughty to them, if you touch my child, I will literally cut you in four pieces and send one piece to each part of this company with a label on it as to why you're cut in four pieces. I will string you up by the lamppost and I will tie a rope to the back of my car and drive you through town until there's nothing left but a bit of bloody thread rope at the end. And you will be in trouble if someone attacks your child. Friends, you know you're in the last days when being a minor attractive person, being a pedophile, is okay. We live in these days, and God said they would come. We live in the days when even people behind the pulpits are afraid to speak out because they have too much to lose. But we live in those days. People won't even preach the gospel, and the preachers won't even live the gospel. Families are a mess. The children run the families, and the parents want to be like children. The Bible says as well, there'd be wars and rumors of wars. Take your pick. Many wars are going on the earth right now. There's a big one in Ukraine. There's always a few in Africa and some of those places. There's in Colombia. There's always fighting going on, and not too far away from where we are even now. Somebody's dialing with somebody. The police or the army, and they're not about anymore because technically we're at peace. I have news for you, friend. There has literally been no difference in the amount of trouble in this country than there was 25 years ago, 30 years ago. The Lord said there'd be earthquakes in diverse places. And guess what? We have earthquakes all over the place. He said there would be a huge increase in false religion. And there is. The Mormons, the Jehovah's Witness, the Seventh-day Adventists, the charismatic movement, and all the wackadoodles that there are out there. There's a huge increase in it. You know what Jesus said? Just, I don't want you to be bent out of shape worrying about this. I want you to get ready for this. Prepare yourself. I'm telling you this before it happens so you can make yourself ready. Now the last words, the last full stop was put in the Bible just over 1900 years ago. John was an old man by the time he penned the book of Revelation. So when people say 2000 years ago, we all have a fair idea that we're talking about the whole Bible. God said these things would happen. They are happening, just like he said they would. So what are we going to do? If God said these things would happen, and they have happened, and they are happening, in the impossible book that was finished 2,000 years ago, before there was ever a mobile phone, or a bullet-firing rifle, or intercontinental ballistic missile, or a global communications satellite, or the internet, or huge server farms containing the accumulated knowledge of mankind, if God said these things were going to happen, and he offers a salvation, and he offers a different way of life, should maybe we not believe him? Should we actually just trust him as our Savior? And if he's good enough to save us for the endless ages of eternity and tell you in the here and now, your soul saved, I am literally keeping it in the palm of my hand, and my Father is also keeping it in the palm of his hand, like that or like that, whichever one you want. And even on the inside, the Holy Spirit is sealing you till the day of redemption. Well, do you ever think of just doing what God says? Like, just do it. I know a lot of Christians, myself included, for many years, I didn't actually know what God was saying. Every time I got down on my hands and knees, I had a litany of woe that I was telling them, or frustrations, or I was just going through the motions. There's a few things you need to do to find out what God wants for you in this life. One of them is to read that book. You need to read that. And if you're a Christian and you're not reading the Bible, there's no excuse. You're wasting your life not reading the Bible and not finding out what God wants for you. It is quite literally a sin of rebellion. God won't stand for that. I urge you to read the Bible and make it your own. Memorize verses. Memorize chapters. Memorize books. Get it stuck in there. It will do you far more good than the trash and the nonsense and the filth and profanity and immorality that is being pumped at us from every other media point. If God has already noted these things and recorded these things and has shown us these things and said, well, look at that. That's just like it says in the Bible, and that didn't exist 2,000 years ago when these words were written. Look at that. Can you imagine some of these people saying, well, God, I don't understand what it is, and God saying, just write it down. You're good, but the guys about 2,000 years from now, they're going to say, that's what God was talking about. God was talking about mobile phones before there were mobile phones. Can you imagine someone lifting a carrier pigeon and ruffling the feathers to try and see what the latest Google News is? What's the latest Google News, carrier pigeon? That's not working. Hold on a second. Wrong communications device. You pick up your mobile phone and say, Google, what's the latest news in the Ukraine, for instance? Can you imagine a man that the height of communications was a carrier pigeon writing down that people would know what was happening on the far side of the world in an instant? It's beyond him. It's not beyond us. Here's a few of the promises, or a few of the things that we should trust God for. First of all, with our souls. If we're not saved, we really ought to repent of our sins and trust him. God has, he knows everything that's happened. The end of the Bible takes us right up until the earth's done. and there's a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. That's how far the Bible goes. It takes us from now. It takes us to the rapture, the catching away of every believer, every Bible-believing Christian on the face of this world. It takes us through the 7 years that we'll be in heaven, and the 7 years of not just a little bit of trouble in this world, but great tribulation that the world has never seen on the face of this world, that's not going to account for 100 million souls, but upwards of 4 billion souls. It takes us from there to the Battle of Armageddon, where the devil tries to stop Jesus coming back and fails again. The devil locked up for 1,000 years and 1,000 years of God's reign. It takes us through that. And then it takes us through the little bit of time that the devil is released one more time, so that people can finally make up their mind, all right, let me think. Do I want to go back to a world where I was afraid to walk down the street at midnight? Or would I like to go back to a world where glorified souls and angels walked the streets, everybody had enough to eat, nobody was afraid of any harm, where God reigned supreme from Jerusalem? Which one would I like? Lots of people sadly will choose the wrong one. God said, look, all of these things. Well, finish the timeline off. He said, after that, fire's going to come down from heaven and utterly destroy everything that isn't God's. And then there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. And only the saved will be there and the angels. So given those things, and that everything is going exactly like God said it would, and somewhere in this town, some minister has got a black dress on, his shirt on back to front, the petticoat on the outside, his tie is just lying over his shoulders, and he's hemming and hawing about a pansy-namby, wishy-watery sermon that's designed to make people feel good for an hour whilst they go home. And they go home and they don't have the blindest clue what's going on. Because God said that's the way much of the religion would go in these last days. Should we not trust God? Whenever God gives you a purpose, should we not do that or take steps to actually accomplish that purpose? And then if he puts a purpose in your mind and confirms it in the scriptures or in circumstances, should we not trust God enough to do that? He's not going to ask you to jump off a building and land on one finger and you'll be okay, although he could if you wanted to. Like he said to Peter, to walk on the water, he can't ask you to do the impossible. But should we not trust God to educate us and make us wiser? Most of us that are here have much knowledge in our heads. But should we not trust God to give us the wisdom to use that knowledge appropriately? Should we not trust God to comfort us when we're getting a hard time? The Bible says it's really easy. You just tell God everything that's bothering you. Everything. And the peace that passeth all understanding will keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Should we not trust God? We should, of course we should. What about the obstacles that we have in our lives? Surely we can trust God for that. God says in Isaiah 40 and 31, they that wait upon the Lord shall mount up with wings as eagles. There's not too many roadblocks, flat tires or potholes that stop an eagle from getting from one place to another, because they just fly over it. God offers that to the Christian when you trust him. And do things his way. Surely we can trust God to make us strong. And I don't mean that you can lift. No, I'm not lifting that up today. That's even with about a year and a half of getting fit again to help Norman fix the church. I'm not talking about that strong. I'm talking about being strong enough to stand up and say, I don't agree with all of this gay marriage. Or I don't agree with vaccinations, regardless of what you say. I don't agree with the way the government runs the country, because they're a bunch of lying thieves. I don't agree with saying the Muslims are my brothers, because they're not. They're pagans. I don't agree with Protestantism or Catholicism because it's not biblical. I don't agree that Jehovah's Witness or Mormons are I don't think they're going to heaven because they're not saved. Should we not trust them to stand up and say that, oh, you're intolerant and you're narrow-minded? No, I'm not. I'm a Bible-believing Christian that loves you enough to tell you the truth. Sometimes it might come and hog me old boots, but I'm telling you the truth. Should we not trust God to make us strong enough to tell the truth and let Him pick up the pieces? Should we not? In love, of course, we don't use these things to beat people into submission. We want souls saved. Should we not trust Him to make us strong enough to do things His way when our feelings point us a different way, when popular opinion points us a different way, or when the devil tempts us a different way? Should we not trust God enough to support the work of God in the world? He was looking at you, Queen Elizabeth. How many people are... You know what somebody said? Put your money where your mouth is. Or your heart is where your treasure is. And if your treasure is wrapped up in money, you'll never be able to give to support the church, to support God's work. I've said before that if anybody knows a way to make steak dinners out of fresh air and tap water, please let me in on your recipe. Or if anybody knows how to let your car run on fresh air when you open the fuel cap and the fresh air rushes in, and the car will run that, great, show me how to do it, I'm good for it. But until you come up with those, the church needs to be supported. And the Bible says, Christian, you ought to tithe at a minimum and give offerings on top of that. And that maybe is not to the church, but to help other people. Oh, I'll go and get a Bible so I can give it to you. I'll go and put my own hand in the pocket to help you out, outside of the church or inside of the church. Should we not trust God to help us to live on the other 90% of what we get in a week? Like He said He would. I have never come up short tithing or giving offerings to the church. You always put your money where your mouth is. Otherwise, what you say doesn't mean anything. Should we not trust God when He says, look, you need to quit doing what it is that you're doing, and you need to pick a different path? Should we not trust Him when He says that? Because one of His promises in the Word of God is, see, everything that you need to give up, or everything even that's taken away from you by the world, the flesh, and the devil, when you stand up and say, I'm a Bible-believing Christian, God has something that is 100 times better for you in its place. That's what the Bible says. That is God's promise. Should we not trust Him? Okay, God, I'm going to stop that. That means I'm going to cut a revenue stream down. Will you help me to survive? Grand, I'll help you to survive. I'll give you a little rundown. I know I'm running over a bit, and I'm on a bit of a rant and a rave here. For the past 3 weeks, Monica and I, whenever we would go out for our first thing in the morning walk, we've been picking blackberries, rose hips and elderberries, and between all of them we have picked about 30 kilos of fruit. That's 60, nearly 70 pounds in weight of fruit. And whenever you add sugar to that, because that's what you have to do for jams and pies and stuff like that, that's over 100 pounds weight of food that God just blessed us with. Those are the things that God does for you. But sometimes you have to roll up your sleeves and actually put your shoulder into it. That's what faith is. In the same way that God said to the children of Israel as they came into the promised land, as they were just standing across the Jordan from the promised land, I said, well, there's water there. Can you do that thing that you do, God? God said, see the guys with the Ark of the Covenant, you start walking into that. Start walking into the Jordan. And they started walking into the Jordan. He said, Lord, that thing's deep. It'll be washed away. He said, you walk into the Jordan. And as they walked into the Jordan, the Lord parted the Jordan and they walked through it. That's what faith is. We know we're saved. We know we're going to heaven because we accepted Christ as our Savior. So let's act like we're going to heaven. Let's behave like children of the King. Let's do what He asks us to do, knowing that it will be for the best. I'm going to tell you the worst thing about regret. It is the only thing you can think of when you draw to the close of your life. And the close of your life can be on you in a flash. Through sickness, through age, accident. And if you get there and you regret the things that you didn't do for God, that's an awful way to step off into eternity, Christian. But if you do for God what He asks you to do and you come to the end of your life, these are the things that you do. God, do you remember the time I handed that guy a tract just like you said for me? It was crazy, but I got such a thrill. Do you remember the time I stopped the guy who was crying his eyes out and said, sir, I don't know what it is, but there's a wee track, just like you said. Do you remember that big guy with all the tattoos that you said to give a gospel track to? And I was afraid, but I went and did it anyway. And Lord, if I can give it to him, I can give a gospel track to anyone. If I can share a word of the scriptures with a guy like that, who looks like he would just hit me on the head and drive me down into the ground, I can do that for anybody. That's faith. That's trusting God to be as good as His word. That whenever you step out in faith, whenever you put your best foot forward, He will make the water rise up to meet you more firmly and more securely than any concrete and tarmac road ever will. That's faith, then. And all the things that God has there does not say they're just for the pastor. It's not just for me. It's for all of us. It's for each and every one of us. It's believing God regardless of what anything and anybody else says. You need to know that He loves you so much. He gave His only begotten Son. And He always makes good on His promises. Always. And thankfully, He's not like us. He never changes. And He never has an off day. Never. God is light, and in Him there's no darkness at all. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Put your faith in Him. The world will let you down. Your feelings will change and let you down. The devil will lead you up the garden path and abandon you high and dry. But God will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will never throw you away. Put your faith in Him. Stopping there. Thank you for your good time and your perseverance this morning. We'll end with a wee song that goes in hand with Norman's Bible reading this morning. If I can just find it. Hymn number 5 in the wee books, The Lord is My Shepherd. Number 5 in the wee black books, The Lord is My Shepherd. Let's stand as we sing.
Bye.
thank you for your good time and attention. That was a slightly extended service this morning, but I was on a roll. Amen. Let's close with a wee word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this time in your presence and in your house. Please bless us as we go our separate ways, and please see us safely. Prepare hearts and minds up at the present link, Lord, and pray for your will to be done. We love you and thank you. Thank you for all that you've done for us, Lord. And I just pray that you would do be done with us. Bless us as we part company and see us safely back at the next appointed time, Father, please. We love you and thank you. Amen. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you. Shake hands and fellowship for a little bit.